You're listening to Talk It Out, LGBTQ Voices in a Queer Election Year, presented by Gay City News and GayCityNews.com. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. Thanks for joining me for the sixth episode of Talk It Out. Today, I'm speaking to Leo Murrieta, director of Make the Road Action Nevada, a group that works to build a grassroots foundation for enhancing the power of working class and immigrant communities across that state. Nevada is a key presidential battleground state, and this year also has a critical U.S. Senate contest. With just over 3 million residents and 6 electoral votes, Nevada is the only swing state that was carried by Democrats in both 2016 and 2020. Joe Biden's margin of victory in 2020 was less than 34,000 votes. And in 2022, Democratic Senator Catherine Cortez Masto won re-election there by just 8,000 votes. This year, Democratic Senator Jackie Rosen, first elected to the Senate in 2018 by a margin of nearly 50,000 votes, faces Republican Sam Brown, an Army veteran who sustained serious burn injuries while serving in Afghanistan in 2008. Nevada, a state dominated by the Las Vegas metropolitan area, is diverse, with a significant immigrant population. Hispanics make up nearly a third of the state, with Black residents and Asian Pacific Islanders, each representing about 10% of the population. My guest is Leo Murrieta, the director of Make the Road Action Nevada, a group that works to build grassroots power among working class and immigrant communities and families across that state. Make the Road Action Nevada is a sister organization of similar groups working in New York State, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania. Welcome to the podcast, Leo.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Can you begin by telling us a bit more about Make the Road Action Nevada and what kinds of activities you engage in?
Yeah, so Make the Road Action, we've been around for several years across the country, but here in Nevada, we started really in the 2018 elections. We opened our doors as an organization in 2017, but in 2018, we took on our first election to unseat a racist school board trustee who had gone on the record in public meetings to call undocumented immigrants and immigrant parents cockroaches and to really scapegoat our families for the reasons why the Clark County School District, which is the nation's fifth largest school district, scapegoating immigrants for, quote, bad test scores and just bad numbers in general. Nevada ranks and CCSD ranks, at the bottom of the list or the second from the bottom. And so in 2018, we helped elect, I believe she was the first Latina to the school board, and unseated a racist white guy who was just a jerk. And so our organization is a member-driven group. And so we today represent over 41,000 people all across the state. We have offices in Vegas and in Reno, and are launching operations in 9 different rural counties. And so what our mission is to really uplift the voices of working class folks, immigrant folks, indigenous folks, people of color, queer people, LGBTQ folks, and prioritize their pain, and then turn that into policy priorities that we can really champion. So we started in 2018, unseating a racist school board trustee. We took that show on the road in 2019. Where we took on a disgraced former member of Congress. His name is Reuben Kiewen, who was found guilty of House ethics violations, basically harassing his employees, his female employees. He decided to atone for his sins by running for city council the very next year. And so our members voted to endorse one of the first Latinas who would be elected ever to the city council. And so we've been active in elections since 2018, from the school board, city council, to the state legislature, and we represent a number of folks. One of our members is in the Nevada State Senate, Senator Doñate, Fabian Doñate, one of the youngest state senators in Nevada history, and also Sisco Aguilar, who is the current Secretary of State and the first Latina person to hold that seat in Nevada history. Both are Make the Road members. And so we're doing our best to elevate the voices of directly impacted people and put them in positions of power so that we can change things for the better and for the next generation.
So you mentioned the Clark County School District. Clark County is the home to Las Vegas. And yes, my understanding is that Clark County is by far the largest county and makes up a significant portion of the state population.
Yeah, like it's 70%+ of the state lives here.
Okay. Okay. Just wanted to clarify that for our listeners. When you're involved in election work, what kinds of registration mobilization activities do you engage in?
One of our primary tactics is relational organizing. We go door to door. We do phone banking. We do text banking, targeted digital ads, paid media. But our bread and butter is really people. So like I mentioned, we represent over 41,000 folks across the state, and our superpower is them. So these are folks who, you know, they're not just names or emails on the list. They are humans who have, over our, you know, tenure here in the state, have said, you know, I want to do something, or they've done something. They've shown up to our marches, to our protests, to our legislative trip. These are folks who are actively engaged. And so we count on them to help us talk to dozens of their friends every election cycle, which then allows us to really talk to tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of voters every single cycle. Like in this primary election, we actually knocked on over 90,000+ doors with members in Vegas and in Reno alone. And so in, you know, we plan to talk to a lot more for this general election, but we really do our best to mobilize the grassroots. And that's our strength, like ordinary people who want to do good by their communities.
Knocking on doors, what does that look like? And what kind of doors do you knock on? In other words, how do you target where you're going to be knocking on doors?
We talk to low propensity voters all across the state. So these are folks who need a little bit more guidance, a little bit more support to actually go and participate. And we talk to folks about the issues that matter to them. We talk more about the issues that matter to them than, per se, like the candidates at first, so that we can start building relationship with folks. Because, you know, our goal isn't just elections. Elections are part of, you know, civic engagement and the overall, you know, ecosystem of building power for, you know, directly impacted people. And so we use elections to politicize their priorities and to really turn those priorities into policy, right? Like, so during elections, we'll build a bunch of supporters, we'll identify folks who care about things. And then after the election, Nevada's legislative session, our state legislative session, is only once every 2 years for 120 days. And so it's so limited that we have to really, really build as much as we can when we can. So we use elections to build our base of supporters that will then turn around and get them, keep them engaged, I should say, in our state legislative session so that, you know, the powerful in the state don't feel like they can do whatever they want on their own.
That building up of understanding of issues of concern to people, does that involve repeat visits to the same homes to continue those conversations?
Yeah, so we typically will touch folks' homes or their phones or their texts multiples of times. It takes, you know, at least three conversations to really convince folks that they can trust you and that you're the messenger that they should listen to. And so I Make the Road. And also it helps that we're a year-round organization. What that means is, like, when elections end, we don't go away. We stay on the ground. We have a, you know, a large staff and a large membership. And so we use, you know, everything at our disposal to make sure that communities continue to be engaged. And we also, on our, you know, sister organization, Make the Road Nevada, they're a 501c3. They organize in issue-based committees that really help animate folks along the lines of the issues that matter most to them. And when folks want to get politically engaged, they can come to Make the Road Action and really start expressing their political views. By, you know, we also endorse candidates up and down the ballot. We endorse ballot initiatives. Like in the past, we were on the steering committee for the initiative to make marriage equality, you know, in the Constitution, so to eliminate discrimination and institute marriage equality. One of the few states in the country to do that. And we're also now today on the steering committee for the state initiative to enshrine abortion rights and reproductive health rights into our state's constitution. And although we largely represent immigrants and people of color, our membership sees the value in ensuring these progressive values are theirs. And we as an org, we don't move unless they tell us to. So we do our best to be representative of the people we represent.
And what is the status of the effort to get a ballot initiative enshrining abortion rights?
So right now, the initiative just turned in several hundred thousand signatures, and we are waiting to make sure that everything's going to move forward. We're really confident that, you know, voters all across the state, and even in rural counties across the state as well, are going to really resonate with the message of, you know, ensuring that we have the freedoms and that women have the freedom to, you know, make their own choices. And, you know, when we're talking about abortion rights, when we're talking about access to contraceptives and reproductive health, this is something that really resonates across racial, economic, and geographic lines.
The goal here, assuming that the signatures all check out, is that this will be on the November ballot?
Yes, that's the hope.
And you see that as a spur to greater turnout?
I do think so. People are really motivated by the ability to vote for something. And so being able to vote for the ability to protect access to abortion, protect access to contraceptives, protect access to reproductive health, and the folks who seek those levels of care, that's something that's a real Nevada value. Like, we're a pretty libertarian state overall politically. We're also, you know, a purple battleground. And so the folks who come here learn quick that folks really value freedom and they value their rights and respect, you know, other folks' ability to live and prosper.
So you mentioned targeting low propensity voters. What about swing communities, swing neighborhoods? Is that something that you focus efforts on in terms of trying to tap into the potential of moving voters in one direction or another?
So we'll definitely talk to folks in really key neighborhoods and key precincts. You know, Washoe County, where the city of Reno sits, is probably one of the big places to watch. But also in 2020, Biden won this state by a little over roughly 36,000 plus votes. And so what we've done is we're taking our show to the rurals. We're going to go talk to 9 different rural communities about the things that they care about and encourage them to really mobilize. And we've identified tens of thousands of rural Nevadans who they come from diverse backgrounds. You know, they're Black, they're Indigenous, they're Latine, they're immigrants, they're AAPI, and they're also young people. We're talking to these real swing communities, Latine men and, you know, Black men are folks that have rarely been invested in really across the country. As well as young voters, you know, we are taking our time to make sure that these folks feel, you know, not just appreciated, but also heard, because their issues matter just as much as every other community. And what's interesting is that, you know, we all share similar issues. We all share similar struggles. You know, people are concerned about the high cost of living. They're concerned about the high cost of rent. In the rurals, they're concerned about access to quality healthcare and education. But everyone across the state, like, we're in a heat wave. It's hella hot today. And it's the same basically all over the state. And folks are concerned about the rising cost of utilities and being able to keep, you know, their ACs on. And so these are the things we hear from folks, and we do our best to persuade them to mobilize.
So when you mention rarely invested in with regard to Latine and Black men, what you're suggesting there is that typically political outreach to those demographic segments have not been particularly robust, and that's something you'd like to see change.
Yeah, so historically, Black and Latine men are almost dismissed and written off. Their values, their issues, their concerns, not necessarily taken into consideration. And so at Make the Road, what we do is we talk to everyone that we can, anyone who believes in, you know, our values of, you know, justice, of racial justice, and really try to engage them where they are and really push back on misinformation, disinformation, and provide folks the facts. When we get down to that granular level of a conversation, folks are relatively good. They're relatively decent, and they share similar values. Folks share similar concerns. And so we then turn around and try to mobilize those folks if we can.
One of the issues that has gotten a lot of attention from political reporters and from some polls that have been released has been the suggestion that there is a growing embrace by both Black and Latin men of Donald Trump. Is that something that you're seeing in the outreach that your group does?
So I really think that this is something that's played up a lot. Like, what we see is that folks are not leaning towards Trump. What they're doing is leaning away from the Democratic Party. And the reason why they're doing that is because the Democratic Party hasn't talked to them. Like I mentioned earlier, they've been dismissed largely as a group, as a voting bloc. And what we know from the data is that Black men all across the country, not just in our state, but Black men are very pro-choice. They're very progressive, and they vote in high percentages. Yet there aren't as many or enough real campaigns and campaign dollars and ad campaign dollars geared towards them or their concerns. And so we've taken note, and we know that we can't leave a single stone unturned if we want to make sure that our statewide elections, right? Like, if we want Biden to win in November, if we want to hold the U.S. Senate and we want to pass abortion rights and keep voter ID off the ballot statewide, then we need to make sure that we are talking to every voter. And that includes Black and Latina men, young people, indigenous folks who, you know, largely don't get the attention they deserve. There are groups in our state who are talking to, you know, Black families, Black voters, indigenous voters, and that's excellent. But we need more investments in groups like that and ours so that we can, you know, keep this needle moving forward. Nevada is a state that can really go either way. And in the 2020 elections, because we can't count fast enough, our laws keep us from being able to count ballots quickly enough. So it came down to us in Pennsylvania as to who was going to save democracy. And Pennsylvania came in clutch, and they came in and won it for Biden. But it was a razor thin margin in Nevada where Black voters, brown voters, queer voters, indigenous voters were the ones who made the difference.
Do you have a target number of voters or households that you're going to be having some outreach and contact with this year?
Yeah. So we're going to talk to over 1 million voters in the state. It's a growing state. We have, you know, millions of voters in the state. We're not going to talk to all of them, but we're going to do our best to reach out to as many of them as we can so that we can, like I said, leave no stone unturned. This election is more important to our civil rights than any election in recent history. And so, you know, as an immigrant-based organization, as a queer-led organization, this is something that we take very seriously. And so talking to over 1 million voters, you know, across the state, rural, urban, young, older, you know, all these folks, like, we are doing our part to make sure that Nevada is part of the solution in November.
You've mentioned a number of issues that motivate the folks you talk to. What is your assessment of the most important concerns among voters that you've been hearing?
Honestly, this primary election for us was just in June. It was June 11th, so, like, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And when we were at the doors, we talked to over 90,000 plus people. And the folks that we talked with were really talking about economic issues. Like, the economy is very hard hitting in communities of color. Regardless of which door we were talking to, they wanted to talk about, like I mentioned earlier, the high cost of utilities, the high cost of rent. Nevada's home to the third or fourth most expensive grocery bills in the country. the high price of gas, like this is what people were talking about. And they're looking for real solutions. Yes, some people wanted to talk about the federal issues and some people wanted to talk about Trump or Biden, but realistically, folks overwhelmingly wanted to talk about the issues that keep them up at night. And that's, you know, how they're going to keep a roof over their heads, how they're going to keep their families fed, how they're going to keep the AC going in 120 degree heat. These are the issues that matter to Nevada voters. And so we've been going on the airwaves as often as we can to tell, you know, the Democratic campaigns and to tell President Biden's campaign that these are the issues and the solutions that people were looking for. You know, people talk to us about the high cost of healthcare. So we then talk to them about the ability for diabetes patients to have their insulin for $35 a month. My mother, her insulin costs went from over $600 a month down to $35 a month. And we also have some of the poorest air quality in the entire country here in Vegas and in Reno. And so we've talked to folks who care about access to asthma inhalers and the fact that AstraZeneca asthma inhalers are now going to be $25 a month. Like, this is creating real breathing room in working class budgets. And it's giving people the space to recover and to start being able to really put themselves back together when the 4 years that led up to the Biden administration really put a stranglehold on the middle class and you know, working class families.
In terms of economic concerns, there's inflation, but there's also been a lot of job growth. How does that balance out in terms of how the voters you're talking to view the president's performance?
So it's really interesting because really what people are concerned about is corporate greed. They're concerned about corporations' power going unchecked. And when we talk to them about the fact that the Biden administration is holding corporate landlords accountable by investigating their price gouging tactics across the country, people really like that. When we talk to them about, and sometimes they'll talk to us about it, we'll talk to them about how, you know, Secretary Buttigieg is holding the airline industry accountable and forcing them to be transparent and give you your money back when certain things go wrong. They love to hear that. You know, credit card late fees, overdraft fees, even the young folks, like, yeah, I'm 30, 38, and so like I'm no longer young. But when younger folks, we talk to them, and like we bring up issues like the Biden administration is taking on Ticketmaster and their online fees and like the racket that they really have on the entertainment industry. People really like to hear that the Biden administration in all realms of reality is having their back and holding corporations accountable, because over and over again, corporations across this country have gotten away with highway robbery and murder. And it's the middle class and the working class who have suffered consistently. Oh, and student debt, come on. Student loan forgiveness. When we talk to millennials and Gen Zers about the fact that they can benefit from this type of relief, people are ecstatic, over the moon. And so we're talking to them about the real, we can point to tangible, real change that the Biden administration and Democrats in Congress have fought for and done for them. And, you know, so when we talk to them about the facts, remember, we build relationships with them. So this kind of stuff doesn't happen on your first cold conversation with folks. It happens when you come back the third, the fourth, the fifth time. And it takes that kind of time that only groups like ours who are on the ground year round have the privilege of doing.
A lot of the conversation in recent months has been about voter concerns about the president's age. And last night, the debate between Trump and Biden, I think it's generally conceded that the president did not have a good night and to many came across as very old. Is that a concern you're hearing from people? And do you feel like the president is able to put across his grit and vigor to voters that you're talking to?
So what I'll say is I'll start by saying that our organization across the country endorsed Bernie Sanders in 2020. So we wanted to be in a different position overall. However, what we saw yesterday, the thing that was most impressive for me yesterday, because I was one of those people that like, it was a little cringy watching the debate and watching the gaffes really from both of them, but you know, President Biden primarily. But what really impressed me was the focus groups that Univision did. and listening to these folks talk about the substance that they heard. And rather than paying attention to the easy thing, right? Like, oh, he sounded old, or he looked old, or whatever that case is. Politicals like you and me pay attention to these things, but ordinary people who are undecided, and they're undecided because they're busy living life, right? They're not undecided because they don't know politics or care. They're undecided because life is hard and they got to struggle to get by. But listening to these, you know, these brown voters, these Spanish-speaking voters with Univision, and they were overwhelmingly persuaded to vote for Biden because of the policies he talked about, because of his commitment to protecting Medicare, Social Security, the working class, cutting taxes for, you know, working families, all these things. Like, President Biden did a good job of illustrating the difference between the Trump administration and his. You know, brown folks and Latina voters and Latina communities all across the country were the front line of death during COVID. There were more brown and black bodies found dead in the streets and dead in hospital rooms from COVID than almost any other community. And so when we're talking about the difference between one administration that let your family members and communities and neighborhoods die, and another administration who has done what they could over the last 4 years to uplift you, your family, and your neighborhood out of poverty and have your back financially and economically, really, it's for the folks in that focus group, it was a no-brainer. So yes, do I wish Biden had done better? Sure. Did it matter to the most important people in that conversation, which are persuadable brown voters and black voters? No. So they saw the president debate last night, and they saw someone who has their backs, which is great. It's really all I can ask for. You know, so I don't like to entertain the, you know, will they, won't they, is he too old, is he not? Because to the people who matter, and it's not me, to the people who matter in the room, they saw someone who had their backs and they're convinced. So I think that's good.
One of the key issues in Nevada, and obviously among the communities that you work with, is the whole very vitriolic debate about immigration. How is that playing into how the vote's likely to shape up in Nevada this year?
I had the privilege of being in the White House for the announcement, the recent immigration announcement that would allow spouses of U.S. citizens to earn a path towards legalization. And being in that room was incredible. It was historic, but it also came on the heels of a really shitty announcement that, you know, Trump, Biden, was taking on Trump era policies to restrict access to the border and really taking steps to limit and restrict the asylum process. And so for years, because Democrats have not been able to really make any promises or make any progress on the issue of immigration, it's something that brown voters haven't wanted to talk to because both parties are just as bad. Yeah, the Republican rhetoric and the MAGA rhetoric is harsh and disgusting, but the inability of the Democrats to do anything is just as disappointing. And so for brown families, the fact that this is something that could actually benefit hundreds of thousands of people and millions of families like across the country through, you know, the snowflake effect, like, this is a big deal. It isn't enough. It's nowhere near enough. But it is a good step towards helping out many, many families who've really suffered for a long time in a system that is archaic and needs to be overhauled. But Republicans in Congress, conservative Democrats, and, you know, institutional corporate Democrats don't want to create the change that we need. And so I'm glad that President Biden stepped in to do this small act that is going to help, you know, 500,000 people.
So Nevada had a very close presidential contest in 2020. You had a very close Senate race 2 years ago. And now your other Democratic Senator, Jackie Rosen, is up for re-election this November. What's your prognosis at this point as to how both the senator and the president are doing and the prospects for each of them carrying Nevada?
Yeah, in Nevada, we like to keep it interesting. So we like to have these fun elections basically every year, and that's fine. Where we are today is the president is doing relatively okay with voters. I don't think that there's enough to say that anyone should feel comfortable or confident The campaign has been investing in this state for several months. They have been fighting to win this state through community organizing, voter organizing, precinct level captain organizing, which is great, which is exactly what you need. It isn't enough. They need to do more. Senator Rosen's team has been out there again, but not nearly enough, right? Like the lack of name ID for Senator Rosen in some of these communities is a concern. And so, you know, those campaigns are going to rely on, you know, trusted messengers like us to, you know, pull them over the finish line. Candidates and, you know, political parties think that they do these things by themselves, but it's the grassroots organizing. That's the real superpower in the room. And so right now, Jackie Rosen is facing a really tough race, but she's up against an ultra conservative, you know, MAGA Republican who is, he's an extremist, but he's an extremist in sheep's clothing. So the closer we get to the general election, the more this guy is named Sam Brown, the more he's going to be revealed for the extremist that he is. And Nevadans don't tolerate that. You know, we beat a MAGA candidate in 22, Adam Laxalt. He's a failed, you know, perennial candidate, you know, Trump little baby, but that didn't matter, right? Like we beat the crazy faces back almost every time, if not every time, but almost every time. And so our hope is that we can build the coalition necessary so that we can win these two top of the ticket races. And we believe that fighting against voter ID on the ballot, keeping our civil rights and our voting rights intact, as well as expanding and enshrining abortion rights and reproductive health rights in our constitution are going to help the case for President Biden and Jackie Rosen. My hope specifically to help draw more young voters, voters of color, immigrant voters, would be that this administration and Jackie Rosen really correct course on the genocide happening in Gaza and in Palestine, because this is an issue that is really turning off scores of voters that they cannot afford to turn off. So our hope is that they start doing better on this, because tens of thousands of people have lost their lives. And the last thing that matters in this type of a conversation is an election. But the reality is, if these people want to win an election, they need to start giving these people a reason to vote for them.
Can you just briefly explain the keeping voter ID off the ballot issue that you've referenced a few times for the benefit of our listeners?
Actually, I'll start by saying Nevada is one of the most progressive voting law states in the entire country. And we're home to some of the safest, most reliable and secure elections in the entire country. Over the last 15, 20 years, a number of our election administrators in Clark County, Southern Nevada, excuse me, have been selected to serve on national task forces in multiple administrations to oversee and help uplift election protection laws and election security laws all across the country. So in Southern Nevada and across the state, we enjoy access to universal vote by mail. People can vote by mail in vote centers. They can put them in the mail. They can drop them off. They can vote easily. We don't have restrictions around voter ID unless you're a first-time voter or you just moved to this state and you just changed your address to a new registration. So what the Republican Party has done is they've put an initiative on the ballot to force people, everyone, to go out and get a Nevada ID in order to vote. Now, that might sound simple, but what it does is it creates a poll tax for poor people. We found in 2022 that there were dozens of people who wanted to same-day registration, but unfortunately, they couldn't afford to go down to the DMV and pay the $40+ to go and buy a new ID. So this created a loop where poor people were punished for being impoverished and they could not vote. And so now the Republican Party is sticking to its cruel tactics and ensuring that even more people are going to have to pay a poll tax in order to participate in their elections. And our efforts is Make the Road. We are actually, one of our members and our staffers is actually on as a plaintiff against this initiative. So we tried to take this out as early as we could, and we're going to keep our eyes on it. We're also going to actively make sure that this ballot initiative does not win, because it is bad for elections, it's bad for election integrity, and it's bad for the civil rights of every single Nevadan who's eligible to vote.
So the effort is either one, to keep it off the ballot completely, or two, to defeat it at the ballot if the courts allow it to go forward. Is that correct?
Yes. It very much looks right now like the courts are going to allow it to continue on to the November election. And so if and when that happens, we're going to be ready, because there's a lot of misinformation and disinformation. That's the superpower of the Republican Party, right? Like, that's the currency that they deal in. And so it's going to be our mission to make sure that Black, brown, young, indigenous, rural, urban voters don't fall victim to their messaging. So we're going to make sure that in November, the voter ID initiative fails.
So you've talked about the progressive nature of the voting regulations, voting laws in Nevada. Are you concerned at all? Because I know there was a lot of controversy about the counting of the vote in Arizona and Nevada because of the amount of time it took. Are you at all concerned about intimidation, either of voters or of people working at polling places come November?
So we've seen it happen every election cycle since Trump took office, since the Trump 2016 election, where MAGA conservatives will harass volunteers in our community, everyday neighbors. And then they're Republicans, they're Democrats, they're independents. These are people who take time out of their day and they go and they help elections. They help administer elections all across our state. Some of them are paid, some of them are not. Some of them are young, most of them are older. And we've seen protesters from the MAGA movement go into polling sites and harass people. Our own staff and our own members have been chased off voting sites, followed to their homes, have rocks thrown at their cars, at them. We've seen intimidation happen firsthand. And during, I believe, this past legislative session, Democrats in the legislature moved to present a bill that would make impose strict penalties on anyone who thinks it's a good idea to intimidate or harass election workers, because we saw a score of our election administrators resign after recent elections because of the pressures that ordinary, MAGA folks were putting on them, intimidating them, walking into their offices with guns around them. And this type of intimidation has no place in a civil society. So Democrats in their state legislature really did a great job of passing protections to make sure that kind of, that kind of crap doesn't actually stand. We know that regardless of those protections, the MAGA and conservative right are going to do their best to try to tamper with our elections. Nevada's home to several false electors that, tried to claim that the election in 2020 was stolen, when obviously, in fact, it wasn't. The former head of the Republican Party is one of those fake electors. And so these people are the ones who are going to be driving and ratcheting up the rhetoric that allegedly our elections are riddled with whatever, and they're not. Nevada is home to some of the safest, most secure, most protected elections, the most reliable elections in the entire country. People look to our state when they want to look at what type of advancements in civil rights, what advancements in voting rights can look like in their communities. And the Republican Party is doing what they can to dismantle that every chance they get.
Last topic I want to ask you about, Leo, is how folks can support your efforts, whether through donations, but particularly through volunteering. What would the procedure be for someone to step in and try to help you out?
Yeah, so we have offices in New York, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, New Jersey, and here in Nevada. And if folks want to get involved, they can go to maketheroadaction.org and they can get in contact with their local Make the Road. They can find us on social media. Honestly, if you hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, someone's going to get in touch with you. Let us know that you want to get involved. You can sit at home and make phone calls. You can sit at home and send out text messages. You can share our posts on social media to help us increase the algorithm and push through misinformation and disinformation. Folks can come and they can knock on doors, talk to voters directly, really anywhere in the state, right? Like, if you want to come to rural Nevada, let's go, right? Like, we'll put you on a bus and we'll make it happen. But folks can find us on social media here in Nevada as Make the Road Action Nevada. They can reach out, send us a DM, slide into our DMs, and we'll put you to work.
So if someone is in Nevada or is interested in spending some number of days in Nevada, what would a day or a weekend of volunteering look like for them? How much time would that be? How much training would you be providing them?
Yeah, so if people have, probably like 3 or 4 hours that they can spare on a weekend or a holiday trip, they can come by. They can reach out to us on social media and get in touch with one of our organizers. And what we'll do is we'll get them ready. We'll walk them through what a day in the life looks like. We'll give them training so that they know what to say. Nobody's an expert. They don't have to be an expert. They themselves are all they need, right? If they believe in, fair and free elections, if they believe that every person has the right to have dignity and respect in their life, their workplace, that's really all they need, right? Like, we want folks who believe that we should have laws that positively impact our families and our communities, so they can come on by and we'll get them trained up, and then we'll head to the doors. Folks can come with us and talk to some voters and really actually help us, make a change. It's a really different experience to go door to door. Yes, during the summer it can be a little warm, but we've got plenty of ice packs and portable air conditioning units that are going to keep you nice and cool. And we take plenty of water breaks and shade breaks so that this punishing heat doesn't really punish you that much. But again, they can reach out to us on, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. Send us a DM and we'll get you lined up. And then if folks, don't want to knock on doors, which is totally fine, but they've got some disposable income, they can find us at maketheroadaction.org and they can donate right there, either on a monthly basis or a one-time donation. And if you've got $5, if you've got $10, if you've got $1,000 or $10,000 just sitting around, shake those couch cushions loose and send them our way, because every single penny that we collect is going to go straight into mobilizing our community on a year-round basis so that we can ensure that we're protecting immigrant, working class communities up and down the state, in rural and urban, young and old, Black, Brown, Indigenous folks, queer folks, LGBTQ folks. This is who we represent, and that's who we will continue to represent. And so if they can help us with a monetary donation, please do.
Leo Murrieta, Director of Make the Road Action Nevada, thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks again to Leo Murrieta, Director of Make the Road Action Nevada. And thanks to all of you for joining us this week. To learn more about Make the Road Action Nevada, you can visit maketheroadaction.org/Nevada. Or check out Make the Road Action on Facebook, Instagram, X, or TikTok. We're taking a break for the 4th of July weekend, so we'll be back with a new episode on Wednesday, July 17th. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, and other podcast platforms.